Hello, welcome to the Film Reroll Fancast, where a group of internet strangers talk about our favorite podcast, The Film Reroll. We'll be going episode by episode, discussing choices made, roles that changed everything, and whatever the heck else we think of during the conversation. Today, we're talking about the Film Reroll's very first episode, You Skating, that uses Back to the Future Part 2 as their setting. It features Paolo as the GM, Peter as Marty McFly, John as Doc Brown, and Jaws as Jennifer Parker. My name is Anita. I'm your Fancast host. With me today are Asher.
Hello.
Also Rose.
Hello.
Matt.
Hi there.
And Peter.
Hello.
Hello, you guys. Literally internet strangers who just met right now.
True. Very true.
For the very first time. Thank you, Reddit. So what is your opinion about this episode, you guys?
I've been listening to Ocean's 11, so I went back to listen to this one. It was such whiplash how the quality is so much worse in the first episode.
That was the first thing I noticed as well, jumping back to this one. It was just like, oh, that's right, they didn't know what they were doing yet, and it sounds like it.
Even to the point that, like, Paolo barely has an intro.
The intro is rough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just because we're so used to the way the intro is now.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly. I think it might be the fastest I've ever seen them get into a game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing.
It's not, but I do love their riffs these days. It's literally just, here's the concept, here's who we are, let's start rolling.
It was also odd that Paolo did most of the rolling off, like, narrative. Like, he's like, oh, I just did that roll for you. I've been rolling for this. I've been rolling for that versus
right.
What we're
yeah,
used to
now, keep it moving faster.
Of rolls, which
yeah,
is
I don't,
nice,
I don't know if I like that better or worse.
I like it worse. Personally, I don't listen. Sorry. I listen to a podcast because I like to hear people talking and feel like I'm engaging in the conversation. Like, mm-hmm. not actually. Like, that meme of a girl sitting, like, eating cereal next to two podcasters talking. Like, I'm not actually there, but it's nice to, like, it feels almost like jump cutty versus when you're just listening to the whole thing. You're like, oh, that's what's going on. They're talking. It's nice. I feel like there's better, not so much story of the movie, but story of the podcast.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I think overall the podcast is better with all the diatribes and the random stuff. But just from like a narrative standpoint, like it does move things along really quick. I mean, they got through what would probably nowadays be a 2 to 3 episode movie in like less time than some of the other shorter episodes.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
It also doesn't help that the roles ended up making it so that what is in the original movie, about a third of the movie, is this entire episode.
See, okay, so I have never actually seen Back to the Two.
I have not either.
I know it through, you know, just cultural osmosis,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really know. I don't actually, I mean, I did look it up on Wikipedia, so I do know how it ends, but I don't know how it, like, I had no idea how it ended. I kind of like their ending better, actually, the reroll podcast.
The world ending?
Yes!
It's certainly more exciting.
Well,
would you care to tell us how Back to the Future actually ends? Because I've never seen, like, my only experience of Back to the Future is my friend, like, wears a puffy jacket and poses next to DeLorean every other year. Like, that's all I got.
I have actually seen the movie. So Back to the Future 2 originally ends with they have to go back to the past to fix something. I think Biff took over the world or something on accident. And then Marty accidentally gets left in the past because Doc gets sent all the way back to the Wild West.
Sure.
And then cliffhanger, and then they pick it back up in Back to the Future 3.
Oh, right,
in
right.
In this one, they don't even make it out of the future.
One would argue they don't particularly make it to the future very well either.
True.
Yeah, this thing goes off. It goes pretty quickly, and like Jaws in this one. I mean, really, she has become obviously this force of chaos throughout the whole series of this show. But she jumps into it right away. I mean, like they're getting in the car, and she's like, "I'm gonna start pressing buttons." It's just like, wow, really,
yeah.
Just going for it.
How do you work the radio?
Well, which I appreciate as a chaotic woman, but on the other hand, having no understanding of the movie or this character. What the heck was she doing? Like when she just wandered off after Biff, was there like a reason she did that? Because I did not understand.
They don't know. They even talk about it at the very end. They all are just like, we still don't understand why you did that. And she just was like,
He it knew, was so weird. But she didn't know that there were paradox rules at the time, but she knew, and then I don't know, that kind of bothered me.
Yeah, I one of my questions, I was taking notes as I was listening, re-listening to the episode, and that one of my questions, at what point does Jaws just straight up play antagonist? Like, at what point did she just make that decision?
I think when she decided to kill Biff.
I think it was as soon as they talked about paradox rules, you know, which was out of character and everything, they talked about that there were, because John was going back and trying to like go back again, and they started talking about it. I think as soon as she learned about the paradox rules, she was like, I'm gonna mess this up.
That's something I love about like the whole Jennifer paradox situation. Is the comedic gold of both Jennifers losing their memory twice.
Yeah. Both times right as they were about to basically solve the problem and get them away from each other.
One could argue Paula was just messing with Peter.
Very possible. The frustrating part about that whole sequence, like it was comedic gold, but again, Jaws got so fixated on getting a glass of water for some reason, and that's the part that I just still don't understand why she got so fixated on getting a glass of water.
So something I think
Jaws has said. So.
No, please.
Yeah.
We've been talking.
On the subreddit, Jaws, you know, trying to take back her character. It's something, you know, yeah, the sort of the fixation on getting the glass of water and just taking strong action in the film. Not really. What is the name of her character? I totally
Jennifer
Pam.
Parker.
Pam.
Jennifer. Yeah, see, that's how irrelevant compared to. I can barely remember. But yeah, she's. That's a good expertise taken back.
Yeah, there was definitely a thing. I know, like, I did see Back to the Future, the first one, and I literally did not remember Jennifer at all.
The funny thing about the original movie is that Jennifer is barely even a presence in the future section. Doc even, like, knocks her out, and then she comes to those so that we have an excuse to see the future McFly household.
Right.
Well, I think they mentioned that in the episode. They were just like, yeah, in the movie, Jennifer has like three lines.
They don't even name the daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm glad they picked movies where there's actually like a female character.
And Jaws always does a good job of making sure those characters don't just get sidelined, which is definitely something to appreciate. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. This episode just, like, it is the very first episode. They don't have things quite, you know, kind of dialed in as far as what they were doing, but they definitely established kind of their characterizations, you know, like John's gonna, you know, be kind of a little bit random, a little bit maybe more aggressive, and Jaws is gonna fuck shit up, and Peter is going to be the running commentary throughout the episode.
He does kind of exist in that weird space of like, he just is commenting, he's like the meta commentary alongside the episode.
Absolutely. For which I love him, and when I'm trying to transcribe Jaws, I hate him. Wonderful, but oh my gosh, trying to type that.
Still think Jaws is my favorite episode.
Oh, Jaws is amazing. That's the one when I recommend the show, yeah. I tell people to listen to Jaws.
Same.
I legitimately cried from laughter listening to it the first time.
Absolutely.
I'm not even kidding. Like, I was,
you know what? Screw this Back
bed.
To the Future 2 stuff. Let's just talk about Jaws.
Jaws.
Wait, Jaws or Jaws?
Jaws.
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 So I live in Chicago now, and I've lived in New England. I've lived in a lot of places, and Peter kind of had a point. Like, here in the Midwest, people say Jaws and Jaws differently, but like in New England, it's just Jaws. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't wrong about that, but I'm very off topic. So Back to the Future.
Yeah, I feel like I've got
back to Back
for,
to the Future.
Back to Back to the Future. Back to Back to the. There's something else there, but I can't find it.
It's just a paradox.
Yeah,
paradox. I forget. I've listened to this episode a couple of times since I started listening to the show, and that line gets me every time. I always forget that it's coming. The paradox. And I die every time.
No.
Well, speaking of that scene, not only is it one of the funniest lines ever uttered in human existence, it also made me realize, I find it weird that they did Back to the Future for their first re-roll, because the whole time travel thing made for some confusing scene. Like, there's a 5-minute interlude where they just argue about Doc going back in time to fix his Marty Jr. mistake.
I recall Paolo mentioning on a more recent episode, someone had written in a mailbag about, I'm going to start doing some DMing stuff, and I'm going to start maybe recording it. And his advice was, don't start with an episode that involves a time travel mechanic.
Right.
Because, yeah, it seems way overly complicated for a first episode.
It made for some amazing scenes.
Absolutely.
But it was very confusing.
Oh, yeah, trying to imagine at least three Doc Browns. Like, trying to avoid each other, and I guess they're the DeLoreans, too. Amazing. They're amazing. Just trying to picture them is so hard.
Right.
I remember Peter talking about how it would have been very helpful if they'd had a map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a top-down view of like where all the docks and DeLoreans are.
Yeah, he's like, a hex map would be really useful. And it's like, well, why don't you have one?
Darn podcast listeners.
Yeah.
How
well,
dare
they,
we?
They used one for Jurassic Park, because I remember them talking about, like, no, that one over there. But I'm surprised they didn't use one.
Yeah, they've used them. I think they try to use them pretty sparingly for that exact reason. Just that you kind of lose a little bit in the translation to podcast, but there's definitely been one, especially, I know they did for...
I feel like it helps, though. I feel like it helps the players understand where they are, and I think mm-hmm. that comes across, though.
It seems like when there's big combat, multi-person combat, they usually have a map. I know for, like, From Dusk Till Dawn, they had a big map.
Oh, that was okay.
Because there were just so many enemies and stuff.
Right. It really helped, I know, in the Jumanji episode. The little, on a napkin...
The doodle
of the house. It really did help, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing where they were placed in the house. But back to the Future, too.
It's a quadratic.
So, like, when they first arrive in the alley and they don't know what Jennifer's there for, and literally the movie didn't know what Jennifer was there for, so Doc knocked her out in the movie, but... no one was going to do that to Jaws, you know, as a player in the game. So it just kind of, I feel like that's where things started.
Well, they didn't. Not when Marty.
But there wasn't an explanation for, like, what she should do, you know?
I feel mm-hmm. like if Jaws had just stayed, she probably would have gotten into the fight with not Biff, Riff, I don't know what his
Griff.
Griff. Griff, sure.
She would have full-on murdered Griff.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that would have been
Jaws-based
chaos.
You would have had Jennifer curb-stomping Griff, like, in the street.
Yeah, that would have been great. So I feel like it could have been a really interesting story of either way, but Jaws would have at least gotten to be violent versus confused.
Yeah, I wonder what would have... If anybody had taken even 2 seconds to explain to her, like, hey, don't talk to your future self. You know, like, if anybody had taken that time to explain to her, like, how differently this all would have played out.
I'm pretty sure future Marty took several minutes to try to explain it to her.
Right? In that 7-hour time frame between darkness and light when Doc was trying to parallel park the DeLorean, there really could have been a lot.
I think Peter lobbied for that. He said, like, we spent so much time with the DeLorean, like, we didn't talk about this at all. And, I mean, what's funny, I think, is Paolo's a lot harsher as a GM in this movie than I think he becomes later on. Like, he was very much just like
a much merciful god as
time. Yeah, in this one he was very much on the track of just like, you didn't say that you did it, so you didn't do it, sorry. Like,
yeah,
and I never heard him say Disney rules.
That's actually something I think that I wrote down when I was like, there's a lot of firsts in this that I didn't think showed up as like bits until later.
Right.
Door comes open
is from this one. The
roll for consent.
Roll for consent was a good one. The second time John tries to get Marty Jr., when he goes back again, we get our first Jimmy Stewart voice from Paolo. The second time he plays Marty Jr., it is full-on Jimmy Stewart.
Really?
Yeah, which I was surprised. I thought that didn't come about until like much later, but I was listening to it just yesterday, and it was like, wow, it's there.
Wow.
And no one calls him on it either.
I didn't check it. I didn't catch it.
It was the second time. The first time it was fine. He was just kind of like weird, you know, kid afraid of a strange man. And then the second time it was full on Jimmy Stewart.
I guess it kind of does, yeah. Wow.
In terms of firsts, one thing I did know is that I think this is one of the horniest. Like, I was just starting and like, damn, it's like one double entendre the other. I mean, this is David Bowie's fucking a mum.
Right? Get it, mom.
Oh, and the constant makeout with Jennifer. Yeah.
He was playing a 16-year-old. A 16-year-old. Kind of.
True, but definitely. I mean, in the movie, is he that horny? I don't recall.
I could not tell you.
I probably know.
He's a 1980s Michael J. Fox.
So probably.
I mean, I have met 16-year-old boys. You know.
I have been a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah. I assumed half of you had been.
It is, though. I feel, but I feel like he drops it like partway through. He's just like, all right, I got to stop doing this.
Yeah, well, when things start, when the paradox rules start happening fast and furiously, yeah, you got to drop that and hurry and start thinking about how to keep the universe intact.
Speaking of, did he happen to kill both older Jennifers? I think I lost track in the middle, but didn't both of them die, or did he hustle one out?
No, he was able to get one out.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
One of them fell into the black hole. Well, one of the old Martys jumped into the black hole, and then one of the older Jennifers fell into the black hole. The two younger Jennifers time skipped, but he didn't know what had happened to them, so they just left.
And then
if
Doc
I recall.
Fell into the black hole.
Right, it got challenging to keep track of.
A brutal cascade.
Something I actually noted was that as much as I love this episode, I think it might be one of their least cinematic episodes, because half of it takes place within a closet.
True.
And it's just a bunch of random time randomness happened. It's very funny, but it's not an entertaining movie. And then it just ends.
It did. The ending was very, like, they led up to it, and it was kind of anticlimactic a little bit.
Hey guys, the universe just ended.
Yeah, yeah. And what a blasé way to say that.
Okay, great. Guess that's it then. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I do love Peter asking Paolo to roll if he has enough time to be pissed off at Jennifer.
Yes.
Oh man.
Yes, I absolutely. I would definitely want enough time to be pissed off.
Well, I loved one of the things that came up, which I thought was very funny. Like we said, I'm glad that Jaws gave Jennifer a lot more agency and character than she got in the movie. But I like when they pointed out that in the movie, it seems like Jennifer's way out of his league, but in this telling of it, it's actually Marty who's pity dating this dumb girl, because it actually does play out that way. Like, she just is so, Jaws kept trying to play up the fact that she had mundane on her character sheet, I think, and so that led to this kind of moment of like, oh, it's not that she's out of his league, it's totally the other way around.
Agreed. I've started wondering to myself what mundane means, and just what it means to Jaws. Because I felt like I stopped knowing after a while what mundane meant.
In GURPS, mundane is a mental disadvantage that is only available. Blah 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 blah. Oh, it means you have a lack of experience with anything interesting in your world. It's just like a weird GURPS thing. I think she really took to heart with her character.
She became more mundane by the second as well.
Yeah.
Right. I think it was supposed to be intended that, like, among Doc and Marty, she's pretty mundane, and then Jaws just ran with it.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a theory.
Yeah, I think it became a reason to not listen to anybody telling her to stop talking to her future self. Yeah. It's like, I'm mundane. I don't know what this is. I'm mundane.
Yeah.
Which was fine.
So something I noticed, and I wrote it down here, is that there's a very clear beginning, middle, and end. The beginning goes off the rails pretty quick, and the end is way off the rails. But the middle is basically the Back to the Future movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point that Paolo even brings up that he perfectly rolled to have the fight scene go exactly as it did in the movie.
Yeah, they did get back on track for a second.
The Griff crit fail on the hoverboard. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That was pretty amazing, but Peter said someone was actually trying to get to their goals.
Yeah, like,
and not destroying the universe.
Right.
Peter met with Griff, fought him, and then even tried to get the sports almanac, albeit trying to steal it this time.
Right.
Whereas John time traveled multiple times, and Jaws, we've gone at length as to what Jaws did.
I was amazed. I still don't understand why she thought she needed to kill Griff.
She explained it as
Gosh.
Biff. That was actually Biff. She explained it as, like, Biff knew that they were who they were, and so she had to kill him. And it was like,
he has inside intel.
Yeah, that was what she kept saying, inside intel. It was like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
And
what is it?
And then
that's
another one where Peter was, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go on.
This is like, Peter had this, he also was just like, no, he came in and was like, oh, you look like a person I know. This is boring, I'm leaving. And that was all he did, and Jaws was just like, I have to kill him.
You know, taking that agency for female characters, you know, I love it in a lot of their episodes. Not sure I'm crazy about it right here, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me.
There's definitely times where it gets frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I really think she just starts playing the antagonist, especially once she's in the closet. Like, that's just, okay, let's see how many times we can push the paradox rules.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad choice, honestly. It ended up, like I said, I think it ended up better than what apparently Back to the Future 2 ends with, so.
I mean, I'm realizing how similar her actions at the end of this movie leading to the ending it had are similar to the next episodes, which is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, she starts doing the same thing in that one, too. Towards the end, she starts being like, I mean, we could obviously talk about it more when we get around to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even in that one, she's just like, let's open the Ark, let's do it.
Why not?
Yes, absolutely. And checking to make sure she can see how it opens and everything. Absolutely.
Well, I think I really identify with that because that's how I play a lot of board games. As soon as I realize that I can't win, my goal becomes how can I fuck over everybody else? I really identify with Jaws on that.
If I can't be the best, I sure as hell can be the worst.
Exactly. Matt? Dive for the bottom.
What was that?
Oh, have I gone quiet again? Can you still hear me?
No, I think
we're talking a lot, and
sorry,
just over talking you. Did you have something?
No, I said I can't remember whoever was saying. Yeah, they love in board games. They're always they've got impulsive on their characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it is true. Battle of the impulsive character.
Mm-hmm.
Hilariously, Marty McFly, the one character with impulsive, did the least impulsive things in this role.
I mean, I think that's Peter's character. He's definitely the joke guy, but less the sort of crazy, yeah, let's blow him all up. Let's stab this, sever the spinal. That's Joe.
Yeah, I think that in this case, the other two were doing so many impulsive things that, you know, somebody had to.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about John and the tasers? That was
my favorite. My God.
Yes! How many times can you tase a person before they're dead?
Well, I think Paolo even suggested at one point, like, he's not looking great at this point.
Right.
It was wild.
I couldn't believe it.
I don't think
it.
Anyone's looking great anymore. The universe is gone.
I mean, that's true. John has a history
amazing.
Of tasing.
The universe is gone. We all look amazing.
What else did... Oh,
I just refuse to look bad.
True.
I think in Goonies, he gives... In both times, he gizmoed a taser.
Yeah.
In Goonies and in this movie. And excessively tased someone. And I can't think of which, but I feel like there's a third movie, too, where he had a taser for some reason.
Did he tase someone in Jaws? Because he played a cop.
True.
He played a pretty bad cop.
The worst cop.
You are the worst cop.
The worst cop. I don't know. Maybe we'll get to it. I hope so.
Yeah, we'll get
eventually.
We'll
I'm
get
glad
there.
I came back and just arguing about Jaws again.
No, this time I think
we're
arguing
about John.
Oh, no, we're
on to John now. John and his taser.
Oh. Oh, bless John and his taser.
John and his complete lack of...
I mean, here's the thing.
A literal
I have a
robot.
Very similar career of John, and I get it, man. I get it. I read his papers. Like, it's... I get it. Makes sense.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, you know, just playing an RPG, we have a chance, you know, to pretend to be something we're not, to do things that we would do in the real world. So absolutely, you know, if you're going to tase somebody, go ahead and make sure they're tased.
Cause
know?
Brain damage.
It's okay. They're fictional. It's fine.
Yeah. We never really do find out what happened to that young Marty or Marty
well,
Jr. rather.
I mean, he died when the universe died.
Yes, that is true. But like, the doc just leaves him in the alleyway or in the street, and then, you know, ostensibly there's some police action.
For some reason,
I hope
he travels
the police find
4
him.
Hours into the future.
I think just to like, I'll just skip ahead and see if other Marty figured his stuff out, and I'll just meet up with them when they're done.
I think that was one of my favorite bits. Is just this newspaper hasn't reported the end of the universe. We're okay.
Well, that was they talked about that. That's the actual Back to the Future rules is when you're in it, it hasn't affected things
right.
yet, which is really complicated to actually conceptually think about.
So he couldn't have gone 4 hours into the future to see the newspaper because Marty and Jennifer were still in it?
Yeah, and so that gets into back to like why would Paolo choose to do something so convoluted for the first episode? But yeah,
true.
If they are following Back to the Future rules... The paper wouldn't change actively because they even mentioned that, like, oh, if you they did something, oh, it was Peter kept saying,
right,
like, well, the older versions of them would have remembered this adventure, but according to the rules, until they like go back to their timeline, it doesn't like cement. So yeah, I don't know why the newspaper. I mean, time travel movies are notoriously bad about like leaving holes in their own theories.
Except right. I mean, it's really hard to keep track of, and you know, unless you have any kind of very very logical straight you know mind to be able to separate all those things out and track everything, it does get kind of crazy.
They should just do Primer.
Holy shit!
I don't know that movie.
It's one of the weirdest, least cohesive time travel movies.
It's really good, but it is easily the most convoluted time travel mechanic.
Sense. Bless its heart.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Okay, let's bully them into doing that, I guess.
I think finishing Memento first.
Right. Yeah.
I think Peter actually mentioned Primer in an episode one, because I think they talked about time travel in some other thing. It wasn't Bill and Ted, because that was only Jaws and Scott.
Maybe it was Jemima. Right.
Maybe it was, but I remember he joked that they should run Primer, and basically everybody shouted him down. Because
they threw popcorn
shit.
And booed.
Yeah, that would be an insane movie.
I mean, if the time travel mechanics are so complicated that they don't make sense in the movie, then your time travel mechanics can just be whatever you want, right?
Well, I mean, they ostensibly do make sense. I've seen very detailed... like infographics about the movie Primer, like how it all works together. So it does work. It's internally consistent. It is just extremely dense.
Got it.
Tenet would probably be an easier like time travel mechanic to try and run. Not easy, but oh yeah.
Yeah. We just want time travel.
Terminator would be a great series to run.
I would love to see Jaws as in Terminator 2 as Lynn.
Linda's the actress, isn't it?
It's been a long time since I saw
Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor, yeah.
There it is.
Jaws would be a great Sarah Connor.
She would. That would actually be a perfect role.
Terminator 1 would be a pretty great PvP game.
Mm. I'm really interested to see them get into a fully, truly PvP game sometime. I mean, we've had some bits of it.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just remembered.
Yeah,
Jaws
there was Labyrinth kind of.
A battle royale game, just like everyone against everyone. Have at it.
Something like that, or, I mean, battle royale actually would be pretty funny, where it's fully just like everybody for themselves. I'm trying to think of like what a good way to run it. I mean, I feel like you'd end up having to record like separate sessions for parts of it so that people couldn't hear what other people were planning.
I think we might, if they ever do Aladdin 2, then I think it'd be pretty cool if they get someone as. Someone to play Jafar, so we get like a full-on war.
Mm-hmm.
That would definitely that could be done online, like now.
Yeah.
Where that way the players aren't overhearing each other's plans. Mm-hmm.
The remote system actually does give them maybe the ability to put together a truly like PvP experience where people aren't just like people don't even have the option to metagame because they just don't know.
Right.
Hmm.
Okay, but now we really probably we've hit Aladdin and Jumanji and a number
back
of others
the,
here. Let's
back,
get back to the back to the back to the.
I need you to go back through this and just every time you say it, just add another back.
I can't remember how many I've said so far.
Exactly. So by just edit them all in, so at the end it's just like 2 minutes of you just going and back to back to back to back to.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Steven, write that down.
Okay.
Sorry, wrong podcast.
I would like to see them do another similar time travel movie, just because, like, I guess for more paradox mechanics, because it was really fun just whenever Paolo rolled and whenever he'd go, oh no.
Yes,
but at the same time, there were like 10 paradoxes in the span of 5 minutes, so it was really hard to keep track of anything.
I'd love to see them do a similar thing where they know going into it that lists.
Right.
They didn't know going into this one, you think?
I mean, it didn't get explained until partway through, and then I don't think they realized.
John definitely didn't seem to realize when he didn't realize that the DeLorean was going to trigger a paradox roll.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that was going to be perfectly cogent.
The mumbo jumbo of Doc 2 having to figure out that the DeLorean is gone must mean that the other Doc went back. I must go back and park the DeLorean exactly where Doc 3 was parked.
Right.
Right.
I guess this would be one of the only ones they've done that I would love to see them just actually redo this movie again, like knowing what they know now about just like how to run the show, period, and then also about like how deadly those paradoxes can be. would be really interesting to see if they could actually succeed in doing what they're supposed to do.
See,
or if they would still
too.
Just fall into that trap.
I'd love that too, but the problem is, how can you get funnier than the heat death of the universe?
Fair.
It doesn't get better than that, really. That's the best possible ending.
Well, I mean, I think maybe if they could, like, I mean, maybe that's like the penultimate one. I'd say if the whole universe were, like, shunted into, like, an universe where everyone's weird, Cronenberg universe.
Like that adventure, that, oh gosh, that game where they, where all the, the one with the, I don't want to say dwarves, but, like, the time-traveling, jumping through universes. There's, like, a Yeti at one point. They did, like, three episodes of it, and they jumped up
Time
a cliff.
Bandits.
Oh, Time Bandits.
Thank you. I haven't seen that.
Which is still ostensibly in progress.
Right.
Yeah. But, like, just they kept jumping into progressively weirder universes, and, like, that would have been a great, maybe they'll just Adventure Time. Time Bandits, let's hop into Back to the Future.
I think, I think they suggested that maybe that did happen in Time Bandits.
Yeah.
They suggested that they were, because they identified someone in a puffy jacket and, like, a thing.
Huh. Yeah.
Did they?
I haven't listened to
Time
Bandits.
Oh, my gosh, I haven't listened to those for a while.
Oh,
I hadn't seen Time Bandits. I still haven't seen it. I have no idea what it was. I had no idea what was going on. And it was just a great background thing to listen to. But when the Puffy Jacks thing happened, I was like, I get there.
Oh my God.
That's all I knew about Back to the Future at the time was Puffy Jacks.
They popped through one or two other movies they've reworld. Paolo was really big on, like, trying to, like, make that happen, I think.
I need to listen to Time Bandits.
Same.
So you might both get your wish. You might get your heat death of the universe and your alternate nonsense.
On the other hand, I think at the end of this episode, Paolo rolled, because Peter brought up his whole thing about, like, oh, maybe we're just in an alternate universe, and Paolo, you could hear a dice roll, and Paolo just says, no, you're dead.
Well, yeah, actually, like...
No, they died on impact, which I loved.
No, I think, like, John brought up that Doc getting sucked into a black hole could have brought him to another universe. Paolo shot it down, but I think it'd be so funny to think of John... and Doc Brown and Future Marty in alternate universe.
Just appear in the middle of Frozen.
Yeah, that's Back to the Future 3.
Oh, okay, my goodness.
Now we really are doing... I'm not against that. If they're doing TV shows, Adventure Time, it could happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'd like to see them do this for the meta-nonsense.
Oh, a paintball episode would be amazing.
Yeah. They have enough characters for it, probably. I want to see Peter as Shirley just for fun, but... I'm just
thinking,
like, really good ensemble TV show. You could mess things up without possibly a universe.
I would not ever put it past Jaws to end the universe in any movie TV show that they...
Is someone on Reddit still maintaining Jaws' kill count?
I haven't mentioned it in a while.
I don't know. I haven't seen it pop up lately.
Does the universe death count to her kill count?
Well, that's a debate they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't on the list at some point, but I don't know if it's been added.
I think it was there, but, like, as an asterisk. Like, technically, Jaws will always and forever win and destroy the universe, but we're going to pretend that one didn't happen.
I mean, that is true. It's hard to get an actual number for, you know, life form in the universe, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are you counting?
I mean, I think she still wins because she blew up the moon in...
and that's going to cause... billions of deaths.
E.T.
Blowing up the moon in E.T.
Yeah.
Certainly also destroying half of Cairo and the surrounding.
I think technically, though, doesn't that count for John? Because he's the one who actually opened it.
Did he? I thought Jaws did.
I don't remember. I'll have to re-listen to
this
that.
We're
going
to
come up on it really quick. So.
Well, the question comes up. Does the death count only come to someone who did the last blow? Or is it a team effort? That's exactly what I was alluding to. Do all three of them get credit for the bear?
I think they should all get credit for the bear.
They definitely all get credit for the bear.
But Jaws should get credit for ending the universe.
Yes.
100%.
And Peter should get sympathy credit.
Yeah, I think they all agreed to open the Ark, so...
Oh, yeah, that's
true. You know,
true.
I mean, I think somebody gets some at least partial credit. For, you know, whoever actually opened it versus, you know, everybody actually just going ahead and saying, yeah, go ahead. Don't know what else. But again, we need to go back to back.
Something I thought about. One of my favorite things about Back to the Future 2 is that it is very much a 2015 from the 80s.
Yeah,
like, they even call it that at one point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one of the funniest things to me is that, like, they have these cool, like, futuristic phone glasses, but they're still all on a landline. So when Marty's boss calls, he has to everyone has to stop what they're doing so we can answer it.
So, yeah, no one predicted mobile phones in the 80s, yeah, for sure.
But I love, like, in this one they bring up there's still yellow pages for cell phones.
Yeah.
But but in this future, Wikipedia still exists as well.
Right.
Yeah, that was so funny that, like, he was like, the guy explains to you what Wikipedia is, and he's like, cool, I guess I'll just steal the almanac still. Like,
I was like, just go to the library, man.
Where can I buy Wikipedia?
Yeah.
I would like one Wikipedia, please.
One of the things I enjoyed the most about the whole 2015 of the future versus where they were when they were actually recording this is the Cubs did win the World Series. And Peter was really mad about the Cubs crashing out in the playoffs. And I was I was laughing so hard at just you wait.
Just one more year.
Yeah,
yeah, apparently the Back to the Future 2, like the actual movie, people got on Twitter when the Cubs did win the World Series, and they said, well, apparently Doc and Marty did some shenanigans, which kind of caused that 94 baseball strike, which, you know, pushed everything back a year, which is why the prediction is wrong.
Or they just killed an extra goat in 19...
something. I don't know what that is a reference.
Oh, the Cubs were cursed for a long time because they killed a goat.
Oh, that's right.
That's a very urban mythy version of it. I think they just kicked a goat out of the stands in like 1908 and they got cursed.
Well, I thought I thought the curse was... That's the Red Sox. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
I vaguely know sports, but like...
That's why we're here talking about a silly RPG.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the pitching style of the 93 Yankees.
Actually, I was surprised that Peter cares so much about sports. He does not come across as like a sports person.
Oh, speaking of ways Peter comes across.
No, but you know, when you grow up, like when you grow up in Chicago, or in my case, when you grow up in St. Louis, it is a huge part of the culture of our town, you know? So even if you aren't that into it, but it does sound like it was fairly into baseball, at the very least, following the Cubs. Like,
that's fair.
I'm not as much into baseball or anything like that, but I live in St. Louis, so it is all around me all the time.
I will say, when I lived in the Boston area, I got really sick of every Boston sports team very quickly. It's just omnipresent. And here in Chicago, I live in Chicago now, it's, yeah, if I'm in the north side, I see Cubs shit everywhere. If I'm in the south side, I see White Sox shit everywhere. It's great.
Yeah,
it's just like a fabric of the city.
It is. It really is. But...
So speaking of ways Peter comes across, did anybody, I didn't, but did anybody think Peter had
hair? Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
At first, yes.
I did not. He always came across as like a Danny DeVito.
Interesting. I had an image of him until I looked up a picture, and it was not that.
I definitely imagined glasses, but...
Yeah, glasses for sure.
I thought Jaws was brunette. But that's
depending on the month. Well, the first episode I heard was Froze, and they're like, Anna, or Jaws looks exactly like Anna, so I just always kind of pictured her as Anna. Hmm.
Right.
Oh, that's actually a good question, though. I'm curious for everybody, what was the first episode you listened to when you
Summer
started
Spell.
Listening?
I will be here for Summer Spell. You can't stop me.
That is my...
Really? The first episode you heard was Summer Spell?
Someone posted it on top. I mean, I'll go more into it when we get to it, but
sure.
Someone was just like, this hilarious thing happened on this podcast, and like, that sounds nice. I'm gonna go listen. And then I started binging it. I listened to Halloween first, cause another great one, just horror movies.
True.
Then I started binging it.
I think Halloween was the first one I listened to that I had.
Jaws was the first, but it was not, I came to it later than Jaws appeared, but that was the one where I definitely knew the movie and you know, would be able to kind of catch the differences. And I fell in love with this podcast.
John Wick for me. It got posted on a Reddit in some random place about action movies. And was like, oh, you should, you know, look at this podcast. And they had just done the first episode of John Wick. So I listened to that and then have spent, you know, whatever, the last 2.5 years obsessively listening to every episode.
I think what this show has done greatly for me, I have a really hard time focusing on podcasts just because I need to, like, be really stimulated. So just listening to something doesn't really do it for me. Mm-hmm. But I love this podcast. I've listened to hours of it.
I've listened and re-listened and re-listened to episodes. Yeah. And I really haven't gotten bored of them at all. There's always something that I missed or didn't catch because I didn't know. You know, like going again back to the future, like the very first joke that Peter makes, like, you know, about Jennifer looking hot, but slightly differently hot, but, like, I had no idea that the character of Jennifer was played by a different actress from Back to the Future, the first one.
Oh.
Really?
Yes. Huh. That's what the joke is.
We'll butter my biscuits.
That's
not
the first
that.
I heard of that, so today I'll...
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff, you know, just like, I was listening to it, and I knew that Door Comes Open originated in the first episode, and Paolo says it, and Peter, like, kind of under his breath mocks him for it.
Sure.
And it was, but it's not till the second time that the whole table starts mocking him.
Yes.
Like, yeah, he says it twice.
It is a super normal way to phrase that.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
That is the motto.
Until everyone says it.
Absolutely.
I wish they'd gotten
comes open.
I wish they'd gotten more into the weird science roles and what those actually meant. Now that I'm just thinking about weird nonsense.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah, they only mentioned that as a skill that he has like once, I think. Like roll,
like
no, actually roll
useful.
Weird science.
Yeah, because he has to like figure out how to fix the black hole, but then he gets sucked into the black hole.
Yeah, and then he just doesn't.
Well, he
that's,
only gets.
That's one of my favorite. I think Paolo does a lot more DM meddling in this first episode. One of my favorites is with that black hole, he like explained that he does know how to probably fix it. It'll take about 5 minutes. And then Paolo's like, but you also think you could probably just duck under there.
Which he does that. He does that constantly throughout the whole series of just like, yeah, you could probably do this. But like, I mean, what if you
but
did
also
this other thing?
I think the only time he's
if you drive the in. If you drive the Jeep through the legs of the Tyrannosaurus
exactly
Rex, I won't make you roll
to that
for
episode.
It.
Yeah, he's the master
down.
Of that trick.
I was laughing so hard at that.
It's really good, and everybody falls for it.
Every
he doesn't
time.
Do it to the same person each time. He seems to do it to different people.
Yeah, everybody has done it at least once.
Yes,
and no, I've done it when playing RPG and generally trusted him and go, ah, crap.
It always results in something great, though.
Paolo is a trickster god.
He really is.
He really is.
I feel like he's the definition of like chaotic, and I appreciate
yes.
that about him.
So we're saying is he Loki? Is he really Loki?
No, Loki's more...
Yeah, Loki does tend to kind of, I think... Loki, I would almost say, is more like neutral evil.
Or lawful evil.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, because I always thought of him as more just chaotic neutral.
I mean, he does a lot of pretty messed up things.
Yeah, but he also tries to not disrupt the balance much. Like, when he's in charge in Asgard, like, all he does is put on a fun play and redecorate it, just like, actually ending the universe. Which, props to him, if I could get Matt Damon to play me in a play, I totally would.
I love that because of this episode, Joss Vammer has canonically done what several supervillains have failed to do. Just destroy the entire universe.
She should have monologued.
Yeah.
And, also,
and she
really
didn't
by
even
complete
have
accident.
To gather up. She didn't even have to gather up a bunch of gems and stick them in a glove and make a snap.
She said to keep talking.
She just kept asking for a glass of water until everything blew up.
Maybe Loki should have tried that. Shows at a SHIELD headquarters. Can I have a glass of water?
If there's only one thing I could change about this episode, if that would just be filmed later, and not even, like, nothing changes from their, like, knowledge of the game. Everything is exactly the same, just so that they can make the death of the universe a little more grand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Like, there would be some kind of monologue after it.
Bigger descriptions and yeah.
Better sound
yeah,
recording.
The note, the very low key no sell of it kind of fit. It felt like
it's,
to me.
It's funny, but I do love Peter like telling the story of his dad.
Yes. Yeah.
He's like, do I have enough time to hate Jen? Pam.
Oh man, I think we all have that kind of time.
just enough.
I also was very confused as to old Biff's motivations for taking Jennifer to that house. That was
yeah.
Weird.
I feel like Paolo had a lot of plans for old Biff that just kind of, we never got to, I mean, like he took her there and then for a while ostensibly stood outside the house and just like was chilling and checking it out. Like,
and then was he gone like, when happened? The future DeLorean showed up?
That's my favorite, is Biff drops off Jennifer, we get a whole scene inside the house, Doc later calls Biff, and he mentions he's still outside the house, like he's just been standing there the whole time.
Wait,
yeah,
to
and
see
then
what
when,
would happen.
When old Marty then leaves the house before the DeLorean gets there, he's gone. Which, I mean, that must have all been
that
within
must,
a couple
like,
of minutes, or...
If we had... I think if they had, like...
He was probably just hiding behind, like, a bush or something like that when old
well,
Marty
well,
came out.
I do
well,
like
in the movie,
image.
in the original movie, old Biff steals the DeLorean and then tells his younger self how to get rich and famous and stuff,
yeah,
and then comes back. So if the universe had not died out, that would probably have been the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there were those movie plans, basically, for Biff that Paolo would have kept.
So basically, Jaws was right. Like, he had insider information and a plan to use it.
Yeah, it was metagaming.
But not at that moment, though. Not at the first moment, I don't think.
I think I'm sure Jaws has seen the movie, and she was like, this is the bad guy, we must deal with him, so I will go murder him. But in character, it didn't quite make sense.
Yeah, it does feel a little metagaming, because at one point they accused her of not having seen the movie because she was acting so weird, and she kept insisting that, no, she had in fact seen the movie, but I think you're right. I think that maybe could have been some pretty low-key metagaming. No,
they're always very true, very pure.
There's so much metagaming, just got to play the genie.
Okay, we'll definitely be getting to Aladdin.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much.
There's a bunch
like
of
that
these
too,
that I've never seen that I love the episodes. I've never seen Weekend at Bernie's, and Weekend at Bernie's is one of my favorite episodes
so
I've ever
good.
Had.
Same.
Yeah.
I actually haven't.
There's a few movies where I've watched it after I listened to the re-roll and was like, that's what's going on. Like,
yeah, I watched Alien for the first time last week.
Oh, really?
Good movie.
Yeah. It is a good movie, but I like theirs better.
Yeah,
I haven't listened to any episodes that I haven't seen a movie of.
Really?
And I'm going to remedy that just because I've heard so much about Memento.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I have not seen Memento at all. I remember when Memento came out, and I am not good at keeping track of the time travel stuff. Like, I remember when Highlander came out, and I tried so hard, and it was just, it never kept straight in my head. I had no idea what was happening. So when Memento came out, I knew that was a thing that I can't do, so I didn't. Now I'm kind of interested. Like, I kind of feel like I might be able to get it now that I've been hearing the episodes of the film re-roll.
So the only reason I started listening to episodes I hadn't seen the movie of is because I just ran out of episodes to listen to and I wanted to keep listening.
Yeah, honestly, I'm pretty sure that like a solid 75% of the podcast episodes are better. Like the results of the movie in the podcast are better than what Hollywood came up with.
Yeah, I would say I listened to Jurassic Park before I saw Jurassic Park, and I liked their Jurassic Park way better.
Really?
So much better.
Yeah, the actual Jurassic Park movie does not make sense.
Really? I'm less surprised about the feeling about that. I'm more surprised that there are still people who had not seen Jurassic Park until relatively recently.
Okay, in my defense, I watched a lot of like 40s, 50s, 60s movies growing up, and I didn't really watch 70s, 80s movies. Now I missed out on that whole cultural zeitgeist.
It's fine. You're a great big movie hipster. We get it. That's fine.
Sure, sure. Rose, you and I, we need to have a lot more conversation about those 40s, 50s, and 60s because those are absolutely...
I'll talk about Hitchcock until my like ears fall off. It's great.
Yes.
Nice. Ooh, I would love to see them do The Birds.
Ooh, or Psycho.
Or Psycho, actually.
Psycho would be a really good, like, PvP, but you have two characters. You have Norman and Norma.
His mother.
Yes.
I
actually did, I emailed Ben talking about a fun, like, idea for a reroll would be The Incredible Hulk. Not because it's a good movie, but because one person is Hulk and the other is Banner.
Ooh, I like
sure.
that.
Sure, it's a little Memento-esque, the way that they're doing it.
Yeah, right. Memento, right, I think, is going to be a good template for them to really dive into some of these other, like, really multi-personality movies where you could do that. You could just be like, hey, okay, switch sheets, you know, yeah, now you're this person or that person.
Right.
But I'm interested.
Speaking of Memento and back to the future, where do we think that he hid the one ring in this episode?
I don't know if he did. That only really came up... I forget
Wizard
when they
Oz.
First started mentioning it. Yeah, Wizard
they
of Oz.
About
they
talked
Wizard
about of
it.
Oz.
And I think in Wizard of Oz, Paolo says, "Ooh, it seems like he kind of says, ooh, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll start doing that or something. You know,
I think that's when he comes up with the idea of hiding it in every role.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had been hiding other things, but he hadn't thought, I guess, of the one ring at that point.
Well, back to the future, do you think that's part of the reason he had Biff take Jennifer to Marty's house is because he didn't build the world like he does in modern episodes?
Because
I think in a modern episode...
rough around the edges.
Yeah. Because in the modern episode, Biff would probably just be like, to the go away, you random child following me around, and she would have just been, like, lost in the future.
Well, I wonder if that was his plan, maybe. Like, maybe they didn't do or say something to entice Griff to wait around for the DeLorean, but then when she followed him, it gave Paolo the opportunity to basically have Griff have the idea to steal the DeLorean. So, you know, you get back into this thing where, you know, prophecy kind of just creates itself, basically.
They are all the same.
They literally are. They're all played by the same man.
They are.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Jimmy Stewart.
I just thought they were very uncreative.
They're all played by Jimmy Stewart.
No, the whole fun of Back to the Future 2, or, like, the whole series, is that whenever you meet a relative of, in, like, the past or future, it is played by that same character. So Marty McFly's daughter and his son are both played by Michael J. Fox.
Oh, that makes so much sense now. I did not get that joke. I just thought they were making fun of the actress, and I thought it was mean.
No, she literally looks exactly like Marty.
Oh, that's hilarious.
She literally is Michael J. Fox.
That's
yeah,
wonderful.
You know what I noticed? What I noticed is that there isn't a son of Biff, like the father of Griff, that middle... There isn't...
Yeah, we never
middle
meet
if.
The middle if.
The middle if. Yes,
as like to call
the myth.
The myth.
That's Cliff. That's the Cliff.
Yeah, he should be. Because we never see that person who would basically be Marty McFly's age. We have Biff and then we have Griff in the future. But at no point does...
Maybe Biff just had kids really late.
Or maybe he died and it's a stiff.
Oh, come on.
Very
oh my
good.
God.
I'll see myself.
Very nice.
Oh my goodness.
Clap, clap. That was good.
Yeah. Well, I've peaked.
I think
right? And you'll never be on another episode again. No, you absolutely
that's my paradox won't. Moment.
Oh my god.
No, you absolutely will be.
Speaking, I don't know if we are. I guess in this movie they did have the same actors or re-rollers play characters played by the same actor. So I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Kind Hearts and Coronets, but if they wanted to use that format, that would be an excellent movie to use it on.
I do not know that movie.
Okay, I'm going to age myself, which is weird because I'm not actually that old. But it's a 1950. It's Alec Guinness. He plays eight cousins and an uncle and a grandfather. Huh. And basically, it's almost a PvP in that these eight characters played by Alec Guinness are systematically taken out by the main character who is a wronged extra cousin. It inspired the movie or the Broadway musical A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, but it's basically a PvP where you basically have eight chances to kill the other character, and if you succeed, you get arrested for murder.
Oh, wow.
It's wonderful.
Okay.
Nice.
And there's, like, conniving love interests, and it's just a really... Anyway, if anyone wants to watch a really good movie, old-timey with Alec Guinness and some archery, it's excellent, but...
Oh, that
I
sounds
mean,
like fun.
Yeah. Anyway, other movies where people play multiple characters could be...
Like, yeah, I get the sense love... that... Oh, go for it.
Oh. I did love that Paolo let Peter play old Marty.
I get the sense that he didn't plan on that. I don't think he was hoping, I think, or at least, I mean, maybe it goes back to the whole thing, like, that none of them assumed that they would have to talk about the paradoxes, they would just know about them, but then Paolo was like, no, you don't know about it. And so I don't think he planned on having them play their older selves. I think it was just when they found themselves in a situation where they were talking a lot with their older selves, he was just like, all right, might as well just have you both play it.
It did seem just kind of like a, you know what, I'm busy over here with your paradox roles, so, you know, go ahead and play that.
It's before they were seizing NPCs for...
Yeah, of course.
Before the coroner.
Well, this is before Andy, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah. The,
I feel like
the
Andy would have been
double-headed coroner.
I did listen to Halloween and Summer Spell before this. So going into it, I just... assume that Andy was and always had been a regular member of the podcast.
Oh,
he is in our.
He is.
He comes
now.
In. Yeah, he comes in pretty quickly. He's referred to by Paolo as one of the founding members, and so I wonder how many of these first chunks of episodes were recorded before they started releasing them. So it's possible that he was. I know he had done some stuff with Jaws on YouTube before the film reel existed. They had like
I've
a weird little
that.
Like film review thing with her
weird
as a puppet.
Puppets.
Yeah,
and they mentioned in Pirates of the Caribbean that they actually filmed the first episode like 2 years before the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's so, not anything
knows?
New. They do that all the time.
Well, I mean, it's just who knows how when Andy actually
right.
Yeah,
he has mentioned that he was kind of a in the background. Like, you know, it hadn't been released, so he was like a secret member of the film reroll for a little while before the Wizard of Oz came out.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz was his first after the Wizard of Oz.
Sometimes I put on that YouTube clip of him listing all the terrible things that can happen when I'm in a bad mood.
108 lightning.
Yes, it's the best.
You're tied up and forced to listen to socialist literature.
radicalized literature.
Radicalized, yeah, yeah, they become radicalized.
Oh man, Andy predict the future.
Wow.
No, he was in Jaws. Jaws came out before Wizard of Oz.
Oh, okay.
He was
in Jaws. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was...
oh yeah, he was in Jaws.
Yeah, he was Quint.
He was... I thought it was... No, he said Hoopa a lot, which means he was Quint.
Hoopa!
Hoopa!
That's right.
Well, anyways, pressing. back to the future.
Who would
I had
Andy
nothing
have
for
played?
It, I just felt like saying it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
We are slowly but surely running out of things.
We are slowly but surely
say.
Coming to the end of our podcast, I think.
Yes.
What were you about to say, Rose?
Oh, no, I was just saying, who would Andy play in Back to the Future? Because that's a transition.
Oh, who would Andy play in Back to
the
Future?
I don't know. I don't
There's
know that
really,
movie.
I mean, if they did the first movie, he could play George McFly.
Is that also played by Michael J. Fox?
No.
That's.
I feel like you're changing the rules on me, guys.
That's Crispin Glover. And
yeah,
I feel like if George McFly was, if George McFly were a player character, I feel like Peter would be all over that shit.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I mean, Crispin Glover is just amazing.
And Peter does love Crispin Glover.
That would be the second time they did a shocking move of Crispin Glover. No, they just need a man in a hockey mask holding a machete.
Prom would have ended very differently.
That's how the universe ended. That was the thing they saw when the universe ended was a man in a hockey mask.
Oh, Doc,
he's huge,
Doc is the man
in
the hockey mask.
And he's holding a machete.
He's huge. He's holding a machete. And he's coming right for you.
And Carolyn is insisting it's guy from the party.
Yeah,
Carolyn, you have to say
it's
some
a
new words. It's
whodunit.
Do we know who did it? I gotta
him.
Say, I mean,
he's doing it.
I identify with Peter, not just because I share his name, but like Peter's attitude in a lot of these episodes is so how I feel listening to it. Just like, oh my god, why are we not just doing this thing? Why are we doing this convoluted bullshit?
Yes,
because
I love it.
My brother and I listened to Frozen together, and that was the first episode we saw, or heard, I guess. That's how senses work. But, like, to this day, we'll yell, don't you take this away from me. I'll punch you. I swear to God, I'll punch you. And just, like, Peter's this meta rage is really wonderful. And I think that this, and I guess Back to the Future, too, his... You see, like, glimpses of his bubbling meta rage when Jennifer listens to the other person and not, or Pam, and Jennifer don't listen to him. He's like, oh, but you won't listen to your future husband, but you'll listen to this guy.
This random old man you've met once.
And don't like.
So speaking of Jennifer, Pam, I think it's so funny that Pam, or Jennifer, Jaws is able to keep up the fake name throughout the whole thing, which is... miraculous. And then to Marty's daughter, or I think it was either, or maybe it was future Jennifer or something, to someone brings up that she is Marty Jr.'s cousin.
That's to the daughter.
And just breaks the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she just suddenly says, I'm his cousin.
You have fully blown your cover.
She said that Jennifer was her aunt.
They were like, does she have a sister? You would
know.
If she
said that to anyone else, it would have been fine. But she said it to the McFly family.
Right. So you're dating your cousin.
Like, Jaws has this innate ability to say and do anything, and it usually works out really well. Just, like, she gets so lucky with dice rolls. But every once in a while, she'll try to make her play, and it just... falls flat completely.
Like
this
getting Kyber Crystal in her mouth for an episode.
That was brilliant.
If Jaws had a character sheet in real life, she would have fast talk.
Oh, absolutely.
Fast
and Peter would not.
What was that, Matt? Fast talk and...
Fast talk and impulsive.
And impulsive, sure.
I love the...
I was thinking about what would be on the rest of their character sheets. Like, Peter would absolutely have, like, anger issues. Like, hairline
outrage.
I was just trying to think of... I'm trying to learn a lot more about GURPS, because I have plans... I've got a regular D&D group that I'm planning to re-roll 310 to Yuma for them. And so I've been diving deep into the GURPS rules, and I'm trying to think of what everybody's actual character sheets within the show.
John Every one of us went, ooh, not have at the same time. Ooh, Yuma.
Ooh.
I feel like John's character sheet would have to be, like, unwilling empathy. We're like, unreluctant killer.
John would just be, is a robot, but doesn't realize it.
It would actually just be like that guy, I can't remember, C-3PO is whatever.
K-2SO.
K-2SO's character sheet would just be John.
Yeah, probably, actually. Probably.
Basically, one of my favorite bits in this, I keep saying that, but I think Jennifer brings up Marty to old Biff, and he's just like, I think she says, I think he's really, like, smart and attractive.
Oh, yeah. He invents all this stuff.
Yeah, no, but, like, he just starts listing off all of the skills and advantages on Marty's character sheet.
Dex 15?
Skateboard 4?
Dex 15, Marty?
Yeah. Marty?
Well, Beautiful got her nothing, so.
Oh, I don't know. Right. I feel like Beautiful got her a lot.
That's another first. They reference that all the time. They'll beautiful gets you nothing.
Never yes. Anything,
this was when she said, anything. Like, do
Does
I get
beautiful
anything for
get
Beautiful?
Does Beautiful get anything for me right now? I mean, Beautiful with... did not get her kicked out of the house. I mean.
I guess. It's like she's with Marty's and hers daughter. Like, right. Does Beautiful get me anything? No.
And it apparently did not get the daughter anything either.
You never know which way anybody, you know, is swinging.
It would be weird if she was into her mom.
It's weird that technically her mom is trying to get something out of Beautiful with her own future daughter.
Oh, I love Jennifer seeing the daughter and...
This awakens something in you.
Roll sexual awakening.
Yes.
Roll Jafar rules.
Yes. Exactly that.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Was this the first time that Peter was trying to gay up a movie?
Yeah, actually. I think so.
I'm of the opinion all movies need gaying up, but...
I think Peter is also of that opinion. He rolls Kinsey in, like, every episode.
I feel like Stand By Me had the best potential for just go full gay, but I wish and they didn't. And I really
they
wish
were very
they
young. Those characters were young.
Yeah, the problem is they are
They talked about boobs half the time.
Yeah,
yeah
I
they
mean,
were like they were like early
Yeah, they were like
12, like
13,
14.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That's like, of course. Like, just lean over
and... Of course. It's a horse.
Talk about it. Anyway.
I mean, yeah, I mean, boys... That's a thing boys did, certainly, in the 80s, and earlier than that, I guess that was set in the 50s or something.
One
but,
could
I mean,
even
that's
argue they
thing.
Did it in ancient Greece.
Absolutely. I'm sure that's, I mean, there's probably a boob joke written in...
Oh, there absolutely are.
You know, written somewhere on one of the pyramids or something. I don't know. Probably not the pyramid. One of the stones that they didn't use on a pyramid. I was trying to think
like
of the
a
Italian,
random stone.
I really fizzled out there. I was trying to think of the Italian city that got, you know, Pompeii. Thank you.
It's funny because all you said was Italian city, and I was just like,
I know.
Okay. There's so many Italian cities. You hadn't even mentioned the volcano yet.
I mean, which other ones do we think of that are active, you know?
Well, if you use the word active, it's like a real volcano.
Well, active archaeology sites, I guess, and not actual towns anymore.
Well, I know they have found, like, ancient boob jokes and, like, dirty jokes, like, all over ancient everything. I think they found some in, like, Mesopotamia. I know the whole, like, Epic of Gilgamesh, like, half of it is just crude humor.
Someone, there's an ancient customer complaint form.
Yes, I love that one.
Oh, I saw that one too.
Wait,
that
are
was
we all
Egyptian?
On Reddit?
Yeah, we're all on Reddit.
Yes.
So obviously.
Don't buy his copper. It's bad copper. Thank you.
Okay, so now here we go with back to the 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 back of the future.
We've gone behind the future.
It's now. We are now at the end of the future, I think. Because I think that we've run out of things to talk about Back to the Future.
And also time.
I feel like. And also time. We are running out of time as well. So
Much
maybe
like,
we should outro ourselves.
Really
okay, so that is the conversation about back to 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 back Tupac. To the future. My name is Anita, and the rest of our wonderful internet stranger group, Asher, do you want to give anyone a way to contact you or plug anything?
Yeah. I'm at OmegaFan101 on Twitter. I barely use it, but I don't want to plug my Tumblr. So there you go.
Sounds great. Rose?
I also do not want to plug my Tumblr. And much like John, I don't really exist on social media because it's, I guess it's a science thing. But if you want, you can find me on Instagram. I'll give that out later, I guess, if this actually becomes a thing. Please, someone else talk now.
You can find me on Instagram, but it's going to be work for you.
Yeah, if you find it, yeah, you know what? If you find me on Instagram, I'll add you, because you know what? Good for you. That's impressive, and I admire
come
the gumption.
Find me.
Nice.
You know one word about me. Good luck.
Matt.
I'd say the only place you could find me is Reddit, but yeah, no Twitter, no nothing. Sorry, guys.
And Peter.
Yes, I now feel like a jerk because I actually do have stuff to plug.
Do please.
It. Yeah, I guess I run almost everything through Instagram, so you can find me there at NouvelleOhm. That's NOUVEL_HOMME.
Wait,
and
say
I,
that again. I'll actually add you.
At NOUVEL_HOMME. That's me. But also, I have a podcast too. Listen to that. It's dumb and stupid. We talk about beer and other random shit. That's just at drinksomething.saysomething. It's dumb and stupid, but it's pretty fun.
My name is Anita, and I am not on Twitter or Instagram, and you're not getting my Tumblr either. You can reach me at thefilmrerollfancast@gmail.com if you have anything to say about any of our conversation. I have no idea how to end this. I feel like
we're gonna get copyright strike.
We're gonna get DMCA takedown now.
And scene.